This is Alex. I'm from Boston.
Hello, this is Jackie, and I'm from Houston.
Hey, this is Rahul from Stanford.
And we are the Premier Chefs.
Hey guys, the Premier Chels is sponsored by Kickoff Coffee. They are a top quality artisanal roasted coffee. In other words, they're Champions League winner and Premier League winner every single time. They deliver fresh bags directly to your home, so you don't have to go to a coffee shop and pick up something. And the best part about them is every bag gives back to soccer charities. 10% of the proceeds go to organizations that use soccer to promote youth social development in the underserved areas. Use our code TPCOFFEE15 to get 15% off your order. You can order at kickoffcoffeeco.com or check out the links on our social media. Thanks.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Premier Chelsea, your source for all things Premier League, but starting with Chelsea first. Coming to you on your speakers and headsets, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I'm one of your hosts, Jackie. I'm here with my good friend Rahul. We're back together after a couple episodes apart. Rahul, I should have said all things FA Cup because it's an FA Cup weekend. Are you excited for this one?
It certainly is. A happy 2024 to you, Jackie, and all our listeners. And yes, the first weekend of the year, and it's the FA Cup.
What a lovely way to open up 2024. I think we ended 2023 pretty well, although some might say it's by the skin of our teeth, but that's okay. We took the win at the end of the day, and we're going through. And happy new year to you and your families, everyone out there listening. It's a good time to be a Chelsea fans because hopefully things are looking upward from here. Rahul, I don't know if you're going to agree with me, but we'll break that down in a few minutes here.
It can't get any worse than 2023. So yes, things are looking up.
How was your New Year's Eve, my friend? Do anything fun? Think about Chelsea?
Yeah, it was low key. It was just hung out at home. And did I think about Chelsea? Well, yeah, I mean, I was pleased that we won and ended the year on a high. So, no, look, it was personally a good 2023, not for Chelsea, but we got to cover the summer tour, which was great. And things have improved in the second half of the year. So long may it continue, and let's talk about the FA Cup.
Yeah, and listen, before we talk about the FA Cup, I was sitting down and counting into 2024 and thinking about Chelsea and saying, what do we need this year? And it occurred to me late into the hours that we're opening up the transfer market, Rahul, and we all know Todd Boehly likes a sneaky signing here and there. Usually there's somebody under the age of 18, which I mean that with complete respect to everybody out there. But it is one of those situations where he's trying to sign those young players. He's trying to get somebody in. We've already signed, it looks like, an 18-year-old young talent out of Senegal. I don't know his name, so forgive me for that one. But transfer window is open, Rahul. What are you looking forward to? What have you heard? Anybody you really want to sign?
Do you know what? Before Boehly came in, And the new ownership, Clear Lake Capital, when you used to say transfer windows open, I'd be like, all right, like we're going to get maybe one or two players. Now my expectations, we're just going to bring in like 8 to 10 players and just throw them all in into the club. No, look, it's what's now this the fourth transfer window under the new ownership. And you can call it chaotic. You can call it just kind of throwing spaghetti at the wall and seeing what sticks. But I think we've kind of, at least with the rumors, slowed down a little bit, at least with the incomings. And I think that's necessary. We don't need to be bringing in numbers that are going to create a problem for Pochettino. But we do need to address what he shared maybe a month ago, is he is looking for some more experience to come in. So I'd like to see us do that. Be smart about our signings, be smart about our spending, and ultimately not be at the expense of an academy product that is in the first 11.
So you're alluding to an academy product, then you're trying to skirt around the topic, but let's rip open that topic, Rahul. Let's rip that band-aid off and talk about Conor Gallagher. It's not the first transfer window that he's been linked with moving away, and sometimes I wonder where this information is coming from. Is it from journalists trying to make news out of nothing, or is there truly something coming out of Cobham? Where there's smoke, there's usually a fire, right? And so the news is that they're looking to offload Conor Gallagher, not because of results, because I think, as you said, he's been maybe pivotal, maybe one of our best players this season for Chelsea. And it seems like we're trying to get some funding. We're trying to balance the books. And what better way to do that from an academy product where everything is what we call pure profit? There's nothing on the books for him. So I'm hearing 50, 40, 50 million. I'm hearing Tottenham Hotspur, which to me sounds absolutely ludicrous of all things. What are your thoughts on this one? I know we've broken it down before, but just a quick word on it.
I mean, if you would ask me in the summer, right, and you had said Connor's leaving, would I have been opposed to it? Maybe not, because he didn't have the best season. Yes, he's an academy product. Yes, we want him to succeed. But last season wasn't the best, and you can say that for every single player in the squad last season. But moving on from the summer window and coming into the season, it's pretty evident that Conor Gallagher is a key member of this 11 at this point. Now, we can talk about, we've brought in Romeo Lavia, we can talk about, we've brought in Moises Caicedo, we have Ugochukwu. But even with those guys here and with injury, with settling into the club and all of those things, Connor is maybe one of the first names on the team sheet, if not the first as captain. So that to me shows Pochettino trusts him. But even apart from that, if we had sold him and struggled and I would have seen him performing at a different club, I would have asked a question, well, why did we sell him, right? So the fact that he's performed for us, he's maybe our player of the season. And you could make a case for it. You could maybe not make a case for it, but he is up there. So why would we at this point now, mid-season through, where we're expecting the second half of the season to be better, we're in a semifinal of a cup competition, we're maybe getting closer to a European spot, and I don't know where do I mean a top four, but maybe a Conference League, maybe Europa League. Why would we take out a critical piece of that and sell him for 40 million, Jackie? That's a steal. We sold Mason Mount, who was maybe nowhere near where Conor Gallagher was in terms of performances towards the end of his career at Chelsea. And we ended up getting 56 million for him. So if I'm using that measuring stick for Conor Gallagher, and if we want to sell him, it has to be at least 60 million. But even then, I'm like, for 60 million, we're going to lose a very critical piece of Pochettino's plan. And that is not, you can't put a price on that. That is priceless for me. And so I'm against it. I'm firmly against it. And if Boli and the ownership group end up doing this, then I think that's a big, big FU to the fans and to Pochettino.
You know, I'm glad you brought up the fans, because I sit with a lot of people when I'm watching the games, Rahul, and the same people that were, I don't want to use this word, but I think it's the easiest way to explain it. The same people that were anti-Conor Gallagher at the beginning of the season are now pro-Conor Gallagher, and he needs to be the player of the season. Of course, it's still early days and there's a full half to go, but they've seen the value that he's brought in the first half of the season and how important he's to the team. So the fans alone are recognizing what he brings to us. And from a midfield standpoint, Rahul, you brought up some key points in, sure, now we have Lavia and Ugochukwu, but we're already a very young team and we're going to get rid of, quote-unquote, one of our more senior players. I think Conor Gallagher is 23, 24, and go to even younger players and put more pressure on them and hope that they kick off from here. I'm not saying that Lavia Ugochukwu may not have a higher ceiling and they could go on to become better than Conor Gallagher, but why would you sell your best player in today's market? And the only thing I can think of, Rahul, is the contract situation. They know that they don't want to get down to the last year when it becomes dramatic. So it's going to be interesting to watch this space and see how this plays out over the next 6 months to a year. Hopefully, if we get that and if Connor puts pen to paper on that contract.
But even with that, Jackie, is selling him now that much more going to get us that much more than selling him 4 or 5 months down the line, where he's had another 4 or 5 months in the team to show what he can do? There's a European championship in the summer, and I'm sure he's desperate to make that England squad. So it's not like his performance is suddenly just going to drop off the cliff. So I expect him to continue performing. I expect him to maybe even get better. And at that point in the summer, you say, well, he's got a year left. Mason Mount had a year left, and we ended up getting a decent deal, right? So I think I trust the owners to get a deal, but at this point, it just doesn't make sense to sell him to say, we're just going to hope Romeo Lavia comes fit and starts performing. And the other thing, Jackie, is long-term, if our aspirations are to get back into the Champions League and have a midweek competition, we need competition for places. We need players that can come in and do the job. And why are we going to sell someone to then go and spend $100 million on someone else come in and do the same thing, right? So this whole Conor Gallagher thing, I mean, I'm seeing some reports now where Chelsea is saying we're not going to sell him and we want to keep him. I truly hope that is the case because, like I said, if he goes, you're really telling your manager and your fans that we're here to run a business and not a club where we care about our players and our academy products.
And the performance at the end of the day, Rahul, because that's what it matters is week in, week out, what he does on the pitch and what he brings to the team. So hopefully they all find the light and we find a resolution to this. And Conor Gallagher is here come January 31st, which will be exciting for all of us. But let's move on.
February 1st.
No, I said January 31st, but February 1st I'll take as well. Let's move on and talk about some exits from the club that are not confirmed. Some may be confirmed. I think Alex Mastos is going to Huddersfield on loan, young player, bright player that joined us in the summer. He needs the game time, so might be a good move for him. The other ones that I'm hearing, Rahul, is that Ian Mattson may go on a loan slash maybe permanent transfer to Borussia Dortmund. I had a chance to sit down with Pochettino and ask him a question about Mattson. In the summer, it seemed like he rated him highly, but he just hasn't got the chance to kick off from there. What are your thoughts on this one?
I mean, here I am talking about academy products and we need to keep them, right? But you can tell that it hasn't been what it was during preseason with Ian Mattson. And he's come on a few times off the bench. He's played further forward. I'm not doubting his ability. I'm not doubting his talent. But it just hasn't worked in those forward positions. And if he needs to be playing and he needs to move and Pochettino doesn't think that he's part of the long-term plans, I think it's a move that benefits all three parties.
Yep, and a move that needs to benefit him is where he's playing, and hopefully if he can grow and come back, that's good. And if he doesn't come back, it's a move that's positive for him that can help his career, because we've seen a move with Andre Santos, Rahul, that happened on a loan to Nottingham Forest, which initially I was excited for. It's a Premier League loan. He gets to play there in the midfield, but unfortunately they barely touched him. He barely got any minutes. The club was under a lot of chaos and turmoil. He's now back with Chelsea. You think he's staying with us for the rest of the season, or is he going to go find another loan?
That's an interesting one, because it really depends on the injuries in that midfield area. I know we've mentioned Romeo Lavia is injured. Ukwuchukwu maybe here and there has been picking up a knock. So in that case, then, yeah, I mean, I would like to see Andre Santos stay and be in and around that first 11 or 18-man squad. But it also depends on how we do in the FA Cup. So winning this weekend helps, because you now have another game in January that you need to prepare for. And if we progress further along, then with the Carabao Cup, with the FA Cup and the Premier League, there are games to be played and there will be rotation and players coming in. So from that perspective, I think it makes sense. But we just don't know if we're going to get those extra FA Cup games. So it's not a guarantee. So maybe giving him the option of going to maybe a championship club or going to another club within the Premier League. Maybe I'm looking at like a Luton Town that do need some players in that midfield area. Might be a good experience for him. So I'd like to see him play at least this weekend a little bit off the bench. I know he hasn't played in a while, but this weekend off the bench, I know he will get cup tied. But if he is going to maybe no disrespect, a lower division team, then that really won't matter.
Yeah, and listen, whatever he does, specifically when it comes to loan, needs to be one where he can get minutes under his belt, because this is a crucial point where he needs to develop. We know that Cesare Casadei went on loan to Leicester early on in the summer, and I think there were rumblings that he didn't really want to go down a level to the Championship, but he's getting consistent game time, Rahul. I just looked it up, and he's played 23 games this season for them, which is great. It's all part of the development. He can come back from there and kick on and see, is he ready for the Chelsea first team, or does he go on loan to maybe a bigger club, no disrespect to Leicester, but someone in the Premier League or maybe in a different country in a higher league. So hopefully this works out for him. It is still early days, so we're not heard too much more on the transfer news, but Rahul, who would you like to sign, or maybe if that's too stressful, what position do you think we need to focus our endeavors on?
The obvious answer would be a striker. But I'm not sure. Maybe a left back, depending on how Cucurella is doing. And I know we just spoke about getting Ian Maatsen out, who is a left back. But long term, I do believe with the issues Ben Chilwell has been having, we do need a left back. But if we were to get one player this window, I think it would have to be a striker. Do I think it'll be the striker that everyone thinks is coming in, Victor Osimhen? I don't think it's going to be in January. So is it a deal similar to maybe an Nkunku where we do it now and then he comes in the summer to avoid the chaos? I don't know. But hopefully we have other options and have scouted some other players outside of Victor Osimhen, because I'm sure he'll be on the list for a few clubs within the Premier League that are looking for a striker. So I'm not really sure about this window and with the lack of any links, I don't know. But I don't want to bring in players just for the sake of it. I really want this to be a window where we're smart about our business. It's about quality, not quantity. So let's see. I'm sure we'll do something because the club has plans, but we'll just have to see how it unfolds.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting, I think, 31 days. We've already 4 days into it, so 25, 26 days left to go. It's going to be a fun one, and Chelsea always keep us interested, especially on deadline day, Rahul. I think this time last year, we were on an Enzo saga for all of the 31 days in January. So I'm hoping something like that does not happen.
And then we threw in Mudrik in there at one point. <There you go. laughs>
That's been our transfer business in the past, but... we'll leave it at that for transfer business, Rahul. We've got an exciting game coming up. It's the FA Cup. It's a chance to do something different. It's a chance to go further in a trophy, maybe win a trophy. I know it's early days, but we are playing Preston North End. I've not heard this name in a while, Rahul. What can you tell me about them?
Do you know what? I'm afraid to do this part of the episode. Because the last few times we've done it where we've come out and read some of these insights and facts, which have all favored Chelsea, and in this case, they also favor Chelsea, the result hasn't gone our way. But here's hoping to a positive 2024 and starting on the right foot. So Chelsea have won all three of the FA Cup ties against Preston, beating them in the fourth round replay a few years ago in 1968-69. In the fifth round in 2001-2002, and in the fourth round in 2009-2010, which is actually when we won the trophy that year. Preston have just won once in their last 15 meetings with Chelsea in all competitions, a 1-0 home win, so it is away for them this time around, so hopefully that bodes well for us. And Chelsea have progressed from their last 18 FA Cup ties against a lower division side, last losing 4-2 to Bradford City in 2014-2015. And I think we were 2-0 up in that specific game and somehow managed to lose it. So hopefully that's not the case this time around. It is the FA Cup, and I know usually throws up the magic of the FA Cup and a giant killing. But please, Chelsea, don't let that be you.
Yeah, listen, it's going to be a good kickoff time, Rahul. It's been a while since we've got a good kickoff time for us. It's a Saturday. For me, 11:30. For you, 12:30. It means you can grab a beer in your hand and watch this game. Or if you're doing a dry January, get a nice lemonade and chill out there and watch this game. We've talked about transfers. We've talked about injuries a little bit. We've talked about players we'd like to keep. There's a chance here to see some of the players that don't necessarily play every game or start every game. And I mean that with full respect to Preston. Let's try and do a predicted 11, Rahul, because this one will be interesting with Pochettino. What do you want to do? Are you sticking with the standard formation? I think we only have one goalkeeper as well, so he may start. But how do you want to fill out this team?
Yeah, I mean, we do have Marcus Bettinelli.
Oh.
Remember him?
Yes, he's still around.
He's there, and I think he actually picked up a yellow card. Was it in the Luton game? Wow. And I was like, all right. Anyway. But I do think Petrovic plays this game. So, yes, same shape with the back four. Malo Gusto plays. It will be a week since our last game, so I don't really expect that many changes. especially because we want to get the job done early and not have to maybe rest players just to bring them on later on. So Malo Gusto at right back. Maybe Thiago Silva does get a break. So Di Sassi, Badiashile, and honestly, it'd be nice to see Ian Mattson play left back. If he's heading out, really, then maybe they don't risk him and Colwell plays there. But I would like to see Ian Mattson if he still has another week or two at the club.
Yeah, natural left back would be nice to see kind of partnering whoever's going to be above them. But I think that's a fair sentiment to see maybe Di Sassi and Badiashile together and see how that plays out. Your pivot, Rahul, who are you going with?
I think
Blondendo is back.
Yes, he is. I mean, I know Enzo has been carrying a hernia or some kind of knock. Is it really worth risking him in this game if he's not over it? I don't know. So maybe Conor Gallagher and Caicedo or Ugochukwu.
Depends on the fitness, yeah, so that's fine. And then you're attacking four. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Jackson's moving on or might be already in the process of going for African Cup of Nations.
Yes.
So who are the four that you go with?
We will go with Raheem Sterling, who didn't feature. So he comes in. If Mudryk is fit, I'd like to see Mudryk as well, which would mean Cole Palmer plays in that number 10 position. And honestly, start Nkunku as the forward. Let him maybe pick up a couple of goals. No disrespect to Preston. And then Broya can come in as well and take up that position. So that would be my front four.
Honestly, you've gone for a very, very strong lineup. I mean, there's still the likes of Alfie Gilchrist, who has done well in the couple of appearances he's made. I was wondering if he may come onto this game and maybe show his face. We've heard about Washington, who is this young Brazilian striker. I don't know if he's going to go on loan. Maybe he may get a chance, but Broya is there as well. So very strong lineup, Rahul. So I'm hoping that this is not one that we shoot ourselves in the foot, similar to the Luton game, where we do so well, and then towards the end, we decide we want to crumble and make it stressful. I'm going to push you here, my friend. Do you think this is a win? And if it is a win, what's your score prediction?
It has to be. I mean, imagine, look, I don't mean to disrespect Preston, but they're sitting in 14th in the championship.
When has that mattered to Chelsea football club, my
friend? That is true. But if we are to put a run together here, if we are to be serious about a cup competition, I know we're in the semifinals of the Carabao Cup, and that game is next week. Why not make a run here in the FA Cup as well? Make it to the latter stages. I'm not asking us to win it, but for Pochettino, for this squad, it would be nice to make it further into this competition. So, yes, we have to win, and I think we will win. Let's go for a 3-0. Let's keep that clean sheet this time around.
I like your confidence. It's been some negativity from you in the last prediction, so I'm going to take this 3-0. I'm not going to argue with it. I think 3-0 is fine. I think we can do 4-0. Rahul, Cole Palmer, if he's back in the action. Raheem Sterling may be itching to get a goal, and Nkunku might want to add another one. Madueke was not talked a lot about, and he's been in fine form and excited to show off what he can do. Mudryk, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So I'd go for a 4-0. Hopefully we can do that and entertain and honestly bring the confidence up for some of these guys, because we have created a lot of chances. We don't necessarily score all of them. So it's a good opportunity for that to happen here.
Do you know what? I actually forgot Madueke was back in the fold.
Yep.
So I am going to drop Raheem Sterling.
Mudryk on the left. Unlike you. I would never imagine you to drop Raheem Sterling.
I am dropping Raheem Sterling. Mudryk on the left, Cole Palmer down the middle, and Madueke on the right.
Just like before, Rahul, very exciting. Lots of energy, a lot of pace. Very smart players as well that are tricky and nifty and can get in there. So, again, your 3-0 prediction sticks out to me. I think it's going to be one we can and should achieve. I'm going to go for 4-0, my friend, and hopefully this is one that we can put to bed early and not make any last-minute fearful movements that allow it to become 4-1, 4-2, 4-3, and we're all panicking. So we'll leave it at that. Let's move on. Let's talk about some of our, I don't want to say rivals, because maybe they're a little bit ahead of us in today's market, but some of the other teams playing in the FA Cup. And I think notably, Rahul, the big one for the weekend is going to be Arsenal versus Liverpool. Very, very enticing to find out what's going to happen here. What are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, look, exciting game, third round, so which means one of these teams will not be in the FA Cup after this weekend, which is good news because I am asking for us to go deeper into it. No, it's what, first against fourth in the league, and I mean, really, it's first against second, but Arsenal are doing Arsenal things, which I'm not objecting to. Arsenal at home, I think they need this. They need to put in a good performance. Will Liverpool say, we'll give it a good shot, but if we go out, we can focus on the league? They're also in the Carabao Cup semifinal. They're in the Europa League. So they do have a few other opportunities to pick up a trophy. And if Arsenal go through, which means they have those commitments along with the Champions League, and it might ultimately benefit Liverpool in the title race. So not that I'm saying they will throw it, or they will look at it and say, we don't want to show up. But it should be an exciting game. I think both teams will try to win it. So it'll really come down to who wants it more or who's able to unlock the other one. But I do expect some goals, and I think I would like Liverpool to win it. But I don't know. I think Arsenal at home are a different animal.
And they're probably itching to kind of reset some of the bad form they've had recently, Rahul. So I wouldn't be surprised whoever takes this game. But like you said, if one of the bigger teams is out and we make it through, which we should make it through, it gives us a better opportunity to go a little bit further in the tournament, which is good. Here's an interesting fixture for you, Rahul. Sunderland versus Newcastle. When have you heard that fixture? The Tyneside Derby is back. It's been a while since we said those two names. It's an early morning kickoff. What do you think? This one might be fiery, might be feisty, or Sunderland taking this one, Newcastle for you? Who's it for?
It's early morning for us, but it's midday in the UK, and I fully expect the fans to have hit the pubs and gotten a head start on the game. But yeah, look, this was a game when you and I were growing up would be kind of one that we would watch as neutrals just for the passion and the drama and the intensity. And I expect all of that to happen again this weekend, especially since the last time they played, Newcastle have had a bit of a change in their fortunes. I'm sure Sunderland will love to stick it to them. And to be honest, Newcastle aren't on a great run. They've not won in the last four or five games. So they are a little bit shaky. And what better time to play for Sunderland, at least, to play them when they can maybe stick it to them a little bit more. Before I give you like who I think will win, do you think if Eddie Howe loses this, it really puts him in a position where the ownership and the fans are going to say, we may need to be looking at someone else?
You know, the way I've seen this ownership run, Rahul, you would imagine that they're very, very well organized and they've got pen to paper on who the next person is, if there should be the need for the next person. That being said, I feel as though they're going to give Eddie Howe a good amount of time. Now, what is a good amount of time in this day and market? I can't tell you that. We assumed Graham Potter was going to be with Chelsea for a long time and he got the axe, but of course those results were absolutely horrendous, right? So I don't think losing this game would mean it's the end of Eddie Howe, but maybe it's a wake-up call for Eddie Howe and the team to start focusing on maybe going back to basics and stop worrying about everything else.
I'm hearing about a certain Jose Mourinho maybe at the end of the season, but no, I think you're right. I think he's earned enough. And again, I'm not a Newcastle fan. If losing to Sunderland is what does it. I wouldn't blame them because that is a, like we've said, it's a big rivalry, but he's took them to a cup final last season, took them to the Champions League, was very unfortunate not to make it out of the group. So it seems like he should have enough credit in the bank, but you never know. Fans are a different breed.
We're fickle when the results are not going the right way. So we'll see how that one plays out. Rahul, let's talk about one more and then we can wrap up the episode for today. Manchester United, another team that's been struggling, but they're traveling to Wigan Athletic, another name we've not heard in a while, but they're one that bring back some fond memories. I'm remembering, not in the FA Cup, but Hernan Crespo scoring a beautiful goal against Wigan. I think it was 05, 06. But your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, it's a Monday night game. Should be fiery, should be one that United should be winning. But how many times have we said United should be winning this and they don't? And we say that about Chelsea too. So I'm not trying to throw shade at United. But yeah, it's if United show up and actually want to do the job, I think this is a game that they win easily. But you have to expect the atmosphere and Wigan are going to make it extremely difficult for them. And this could be another one where the magic of the FA Cup can come through. So my head says United, but my heart says Wigan should get it done.
Listen, and just like every other team, Rahul, for Manchester United and for Erik ten Hag, this is an opportunity to reset, maybe pick some younger players that are not sucked into, I don't want to say the negativity of the dressing room, but maybe the demoralization of the dressing room at this point in time. So it's a good reset button. Hopefully he can build from there. While we want Manchester United to keep losing, you and I have grown up with the mighty Manchester United, so it's interesting to see them on a struggling path. But hey, if Chelsea are going to struggle, we might as well take Manchester United with us on this ride as we go through it. So I think they'll win, but it'll be a fun weekend of FA Cup games. If you're looking forward to it, you don't have to watch Chelsea, Manchester United, Arsenal, Liverpool. There are tons of games. Pick one, enjoy yourself, and just have a good weekend with the FA Cup.
Yeah, and then we'll get back to the Carabao Cup next week and the Premier League the following weekend. So exciting times. The games keep coming. And we're here for it. But that wraps it up, guys. Thank you very much for listening. Please continue to subscribe, like, and follow us at The Premier Chels on all podcast providers. And on Instagram and Twitter, it's at The Premier Chels Pod. And we will be back with an episode. But until then, up the Chels. The Premier Chels has partnered with Fubo TV. Fubo TV is your home for live sports and TV without a cable in the US and Canada. You can watch on all your devices, which means you don't have to miss any of the actions or goals that Chelsea score in the Premier League and Champions League.
You heard that right. Fubo TV networks broadcast Premier League, Champions League, and many other leagues and tournaments. So what are you waiting for? Start your free trial today at fubotv.com/TPC.